Given the mixed feelings about climate change, at least in the political arena, there are basically two choices. One, accept the division and retreat, or two, power ahead and talk about climate change more, looking for common ground. The group known as Citizens Climate Lobby chose option two, power ahead and look for people to talk to. That became the Oregon Stewardship Tour, a series of chats around Oregon's 2nd Congressional District. That's the one that includes Grants Pass, Jackson County, and everything east of the Cascades. Republican Greg Walden represents the district. The tour started in Baker City last week and ends with sessions in Klamath Falls this evening in Grants Pass on Saturday. Our two guests were present for yesterday's session in Lakeview. Brian Etling is the co-founder of the Southern Oregon Chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
And Jim Walls is with us as well. He's the executive director of the Lake County Resources Initiative, or LCRI. Jim, good to have you on here as well.
Good morning. It's great to be on.
Brian, let's start with you. Give us a little sketch of Citizens Climate Lobby and what you're about.
Yes, well, I am a seasonal park ranger at Crater Lake National Park, and my season typically goes from May 1st to the end of September, so I'm doing this actually as a private citizen, but I lead ranger talks at Crater Lake. I narrate the boat tours, the trolley tours, et cetera, and people started asking me about climate change about 18 years ago, and I knew nothing about it, and when I started learning about it, I was very scared, especially at Crater Lake, learning how the snowpack has been going down over the decades, the increased, more intense fire season that we've been experiencing there, and also that the lake temperature itself has been rising with the air temperature, the summertime air temperature. So that's what encouraged me to try to find a group where I could take action on climate change, which led me to Citizens Climate Lobby 5 years ago, and to co-found the Southern Oregon Group, which meets in Ashland once a month about 4 years ago.
And so the things that people ask you about at Crater Lake, I'm curious to know if the questions are coming more frequently now.
Well, I think a bit more as people have been finding out about it in other national parks and at home. And also the National Park Service wants the public to know about climate change in the national park. So they want us to educate folks on what is happening in our national parks.
So Citizens Climate Lobby, I mean, is the point to, I mean, the citizens name certainly implies this, but that you get a lot of people together talking about the approaches to climate change?
Well, we have a singular focus. Our singular focus is to work together as citizens to get Congress, to engage Congress to pass what's called carbon fee and dividend. And so it helps citizens increase their personal and political power in order to do that. So we're singly focused on passing carbon fee and dividend.
All right. I want to come back to what goes on with Citizens Climate Lobby and the tour in just a moment. I do want to get Jim Walls in here, though, to tell us a little bit more about LCRI, the Lake County Resources Initiative.
Yeah. Lake County, LCRI was primarily a collaborative of environmental groups, industry, and stuff on forest issues. But when we were looking at the forest problems and the overstocking of our forests, which we've seen the fires this past summer, what were we going to use with that small diameter material? So we started looking at biomass, and that led the community in Lake County to look at solar and wind and geothermal. And so we wrote a plan to become the new energy frontier and be the first county in Oregon to be a net exporter of renewable energy. Then we decided, what would that do to the abiotic emissions, meaning the fossil fuel emissions offsets? And we went, whoa, if we implement everything we've got in our plan, we could offset 93% of the abiotic emissions in this county economically.
Wow.
And we go, what's wrong with that? You know, economic strategy, result, climate change impact, positively. So that was our move and what we've tried to accomplish. And we're well on our way.
How far along the way? I mean, is this something you think you'll complete in 5 years, 10 years, less time than that?
Oh, less time than that. I would like an expert to evaluate our data, but I think we already are a net exporter. We have 15 megawatts of solar online, 2.5 megawatts of geothermal. We have another 111 megawatts that have filed at the Lake County Planning Commission on solar. And we have two identified sites that, from geothermal, that are known sites, known sources that could each produce 30 megawatts. We expect within 2 to 4 years we will have over 80 megawatts out of all that. Some apply for planning and don't carry out. So we're taking that in, the ones that we know that are going to build. So we're pretty confident in 2 to 4 years we'll be at 80 megawatts, and then we're a net exporter, and we've offset that 93. And to reach 100, I think we're going to do that. That may be 10 years. So, you know.
That's impressive. So 80 megawatts powers about how many homes or about how big a community?
Oh, you would ask me. Yeah.
Playing the math game here.
I'm getting close to 70. I like to use it's my mind going away that I forget data all the time. I think a megawatt's 1,000 homes.
Okay, I thought it was something like that. All right.
Yeah.
So 80,000 homes, if that's the true multiplier. I'll check this up in just a second, too. So interesting, but the details of what you've got in Lake County are rather unique, I would think, in the sense that you've got abundant solar because it's sunny, more than 300 days a year, and you've got geothermal, and you've got a population under 8,000 for the whole county, right?
164 homes per megawatt.
Okay. By the way, it's 164 homes per megawatt.
164 homes per megawatt. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah.
Great. Okay.
So we've got a population of 7,500 here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, you average out two per home or something like that, and you get, you know, why we can make that.
Sure. But that was part of the question I was just asking, too, is you got very, very little population there relative to Western Oregon, and abundant sunshine for solar and lots of geothermal as well. I mean, Lakeview's the home of old perpetual geyser and all, but this is, I mean, you're kind of blessed with things a lot of areas aren't blessed with, it sounds like.
Yes, we are, but there are a lot of areas that can do things. And you're right, because of our population, we can accomplish the climate change goals with renewable energy. So a metropolitan area can't do that due to population size and number of vehicles and all that. But there's a new wood product coming out, and two plants are being built in Oregon called cross-laminated timbers,
mm-hmm.
where we can build 30-story buildings out of wood, and I won't go into detail, but they're less earthquake prone, they're less fire prone, and they're cheaper to build, and they're gorgeous. And the world is adopting these. Now, we think if we did across the whole country in Oregon, both cross-laminated timber, and there's a new product called mass plywood panels being built in Lyons, Oregon, and to compete with that, and they build panels a half inch to 2 feet thick. We build out of wood. Wood sequesters carbon. A tree takes in carbon dioxide, we all know, which emits oxygen and stuff, so we take these small diameter trees that we're trying to thin out to prevent these big catastrophic fires, put them into products like that, then we're sequestering carbon. And some of the estimates are, and this is a study from Yale University and the University of Washington, are that we might be able to offset anywhere from 14 to 30% of the carbon emissions. Then you add renewable energy around the world, maybe we could hit 30, 40% of it economically. And I've always said, why don't we do that that's economical?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's debate the rest.
Right.
Why are we arguing about that part? Why is Congress not doing that, you know?
Which is one of the major questions of this Oregon Stewardship Tour. Jim Walz is the executive director at Lake County Resources Initiative. Brian Etling is the constant member on the tour. He's the co-founder of the Southern Oregon chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby. And you can join us as we talk about the Oregon Stewardship Tour of the 2nd Congressional District. Began last week, has a meeting tonight in Klamath Falls and one on Saturday in Grants Pass. And you can join us right now at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Brian Etling, it sounds like you really did find lots of people who at least can relate to what you're trying to do through Citizens Climate Lobby in the 2nd Congressional District. Now, I know a lot of this is aimed at trying to get members of Congress along, and you're doing Greg Walden's district. Where does he stand with all of this?
Greg Walden is, I think, in many ways doing great because he does drive a Prius. He does accept the reality of climate change, and he is actually the chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee. And so he does want to do a lot. And so when we meet, we've had great meetings with his staff. We just had a meeting with his district director in Bend. And so what he's telling us is we're trying to ask him to do two things right now. Is number one is join the bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus, which is up to, in the House, 30 Democrats and 30 Republicans. So that's our first ask. And the second ask is to consider supporting carbon fee and dividend. As far as the first ask, he's been telling us he's not there yet. So what we're hearing is that we just need more political will from the constituents. More constituents in the district just need to contact Greg Wald and let him know. But also we're in contact with Senator Ron Wyden's office and Senator Jeff Merkley's office, too. So we talk to all members of Congress, but in Oregon and in the 2nd District, we're talking to Walden's office, Wyden's office, and Merkley's offices.
I know you tend to deal with more on the ground kind of stuff, but are there some political realities here that get in Greg Walden's way? The fact that he is pretty much the third ranking Republican, I mean, he's responsible for getting other Republicans elected to Congress, and I wonder if joining up with a group that is half Republicans and half Democrats might get him in trouble.
I don't think it's that. When we meet with Walden's office, he's been telling us that he pays very particular attention to his rural voters and to businesses. And so what he's told us is that climate change is not exactly a priority for him yet. And so that's why we're trying to organize with more citizens and more community and business leaders in the district for them to hopefully to speak with us, but at least to speak with Walden saying, yes, climate change is a priority.
So you say you want to get members of Congress to work together for carbon fee and dividend.
Yes.
So explain the program, if you would, please.
Yes. So what we're trying to do is we need to put a price on pollution here. None of us are allowed to throw out our garbage into the streets, but unfortunately today, industry is allowed to use our air system as an unpriced and unregulated sewer. So what we're doing is we're asking that polluters, if you're going to pollute, you're going to have to pay for your pollution. So what our fee would be, it would start at $15 a ton of fossil fuel emitted, and then it would raise each year by $10, so that within a decade, basically, you know, clean energy has replaced fossil fuels. And then what happened is you have this big pot of money. All of it would be returned to the American public in a monthly dividend check. And then two-thirds of the American population, primarily the working class folks and poor and middle class, that dividend check would more than cover their increased cost of fuel. And then what would happen is that since it starts at $15 a ton and goes up each year by $10, it sends a clear market signal to entrepreneurs and investors to invest in the clean market economy. And so we love this solution because it's basically a market-based solution that Greg Walden and other Republicans and conservative Republicans can support.
So what would be the total revenue? Has anybody done that math?
They have, and I can get that back to you. We've done an economic analysis through what's called REMI, which is Regional Economic Models Incorporated. We did a household impact study, so I don't have that information off the top of my head, but I can get that to you and your listeners.
All right, which we can put on our website later. But so
yeah.
It gets to the point of if you're trying to discourage people from putting carbon into the air by charging them for it and then giving the dividend checks to the public, I mean, this is something you eventually want to sunset, right?
Yeah, it'll eventually sunset because it'll reach the point where we're reaching 100% renewable energy. And then we won't need the dividend checks because we'll have made the transition to that cleaner market economy.
I have not asked Jim Walls at the Lake County Resources Initiative where the money comes from for all the projects you guys are putting together out there.
Most of that funds has come from grants and the like. And I'd like to say on the dividend, if you don't know, Lake County's Republican, and new taxes are not popular, you know, but when you do a dividend, it's like the oil dividend up on the slope.
In Alaska,
slope.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Every citizen gets a check every year from that oil. This does the same thing. So the company in a tax just passes it on to your gasoline prices, and you suffer. You know, that's how companies do that.
Mm-hmm.
But with the dividend, it goes into a fund that's invested, and it comes back to you and more than offsets the extra gas costs or whatever that fossil fuel that's being emitted is, electrical or whatever. So it benefits the citizens.
But, Jim, once you get to 100%...
I'm intrigued by that.
But once you get to 100% renewable, the dividend checks stop, don't they?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And prices will be back to down and all kinds of stuff. We see good things happening.
All right. We're talking to Jim Walls again, the Lake County Resources Initiative Executive Director. He was along on the... the stewardship tour, the Oregon Stewardship Tour, the Citizens Climate Lobby, where Brian Etling is the co-founder of the Southern Oregon chapter based in Ashland. You can join our conversation on the exchange about trying to get more programs to look at things like carbon fees and dividends in places like the 2nd Congressional District. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Pam and Dexter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Well, I'm in favor of a carbon tax, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, you tax what you don't want, and you subsidize what you do want. And we are in a dire situation globally with climate change. We need to do everything we can, in my opinion. It's all hands on deck. So my comment is, there's an article in the paper today about the House has approved a bill to speed logging to combat wildfires. And the Republicans are saying that the way to deal with the wildfires, which we know are increasing because of climate change, hotter and drier summers, is to clear-cut our forests. And so one thing a lot of people probably don't know is the forests in western Oregon are one of the top 10 in the world for carbon sequestration, and deforestation is the second largest contributor to climate change. So the last thing we should be doing is destroying the existing biodiverse forests and turning them into tree plantations to save us from wildfires. It's just, it's really flawed logic, and it seems to me it's a, and it's an excuse to get in and not adhere to the environmental endangered species, environmental rules that have been put in place. So I just wondered what the Citizens Climate Lobby and the other guests on this show thought about that, and I just wanted to kind of ring the bell of people to call their legislators to say this is not going to solve the wildfire problem.
All right, Pam.
And I'll listen on the radio. Thanks.
Thanks. I appreciate it. So, Brian, how much have you been dealing with forestry issues? It seems like that would have been up a few times on the course of this tour.
Every stop, because last summer was really bad with the smoke throughout Oregon from forest fires. And we do know this with climate change. When we get warmer temperatures, and also our winters are becoming milder, warmer, less snowy, that means our fire season is getting longer, drier, hotter, and more intense. So yes, the fire issue has been coming up in each of the areas that I've spoken to. And I know at working at Crater Lake is that we're trying to manage the forest as wilderness as much as we can. But having said that, for the first 100 years of the park's history, our forests are way too overgrown with small brush and small trees and that. And so we're going to have to find ways to reduce some of the fuel loads in our forest. And I agree with your caller. We can't do clear cutting because forests are amazing sources for sequestering carbon. But we got to find some way to reduce some of the fuel loads with more prescribed burns, et cetera, to try to make our forests healthier and have less of the smoke here in the summertime, but also at the same time considering their factor for sequestering carbon.
Jim Walls, you had mentioned smaller trees earlier in this discussion. I mean, how small are we talking about? Because obviously that's the concern for a lot of people, is that they don't just take out the big trees and leave the little ones there.
Right. And I want to say, I facilitate a collaborative with environmental groups and industry, and I've testified before Congress several times on forest issues. That is, I'm more of an expert in forestry than I am renewables. And what we're talking about is not clear-cut. We will not do that, period. And I hope people understand that. But we've, over 100 years of fire suppressions, our forests, particularly our east side ponderosa pine and mixed conifer forests, are so dense they're having these big catastrophic fires. And I run a scientific monitoring crew to monitor everything the Forest Service does out there, from stream rehabilitation to cutting, logging, everything, roads, and what are those impacts. And we've got to get these trees out. Now, a commercial tree, our mill, Collins Company, which is FSC certified, one of the best environmental companies, timber companies around, can take down to a 7-inch top. Now, anything below that needs to go to some other product. Rather than thinning stuff out and putting it into a slash pile and then light a match to it, because that's more carbon. So I want people to know, we will fight not to have clear cuts, but we need to manage our forest. and we need to get things back to the way they were natural, where fire can act naturally. Our monitoring crew, we have shown that some of these intense fires are actually melting the soil where water doesn't penetrate, and we haven't seen trees. Trees have not grown back in some of these more hot fires for over six decades. And we can't, that's wrong. We need to let fire go back to what fire did naturally.
Right. Fire back in the ecosystem. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty, yeah. All right. Brian Etling, where do things go from now? You got two stops left, Klamath Falls tonight and Grants Pass on Saturday afternoon. And how different have the sessions been from place to place along the Oregon Stewardship Tour?
Absolutely. Each group in each town has been different. I've spoken to high school students, college students, professors, firemen in Prineville. I've had I had a Tea Party member in Redmond. I've had folks that were on the far left in the Heinz Burns area. So every individual and every group has been different. So this has been great for me to be able to see how diverse Eastern and Central and Southern Oregon is on the tour, and really hear what people are thinking about this. But definitely people across the political spectrum are definitely concerned about the smoke from the forest fires, protecting our environment. And actually, most people seem to be concerned that we should be doing something about climate change. And that's why I'm trying to offer kind of a Citizens Climate Lobby's market-based solution.
And so is the public invited to these last two sessions of the Oregon Stewardship Tour?
Absolutely. Tonight's at 6 p.m. at the Gaucho Collective at Main Street, 1038 Main Street. And then Saturday is at Grants Pass at the Hall, which is 121 Southwest H Street. H is in Henry, in Grants Pass, H Street.
Okay, the Hall, H-A-U-L, and the Gaucho Collective in Klamath Falls tonight at 6, Saturday at 1 at the Hall Bar and Grill. All right, interesting stuff going on with the Oregon Stewardship Tour. Can't wait to talk to you guys about a final report. Brian Etling is the co-founder of the Southern Oregon Chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby. Jim Walls is the executive director of Lake County Resources Initiative. Pleasure to have you both on The Exchange today.
It was wonderful to be here.
Thank you so much. We enjoyed it.